I mean, look at that. That is the dark energy laser. You can see the lines in front of the orbs. They're literally creating space in front of the orbs and traveling along them like a gravitational well. Who would even have known about this in 2014? Who the hell would even have come up with this? So who's the person that faked these videos? Some dude who is a VFX expert that knows about the aeronautical capabilities of a 777, that somehow knows about Thomas Bearden, that knows about what a warp bubble would look like, that knows what how to create a dark energy laser that expands space in front of the object. Because what these orbs are doing here is not Alcubierre drive. They're literally using a laser to produce dark energy in front of them, dark energy, ether, whatever you want to call it. They're producing a gravitational well. That's it. This is proof.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Liberty Lockdown. This is Clint Russell. I had one of the most watched, listened to episodes I've ever done was with Ashton Forbes, and it was a deep dive on MH370. It was the Malaysian flight that disappeared many years ago, and it has now opened up a can of worms into advanced technology, potential aliens, potential government cover-ups. I mean, the list goes on and on. It is a absolutely fascinating story. I am, for one, a 98% believer in all of this at this point. So it'll be interesting to hear the latest from Ashton. If you haven't seen the first interview, I would highly recommend you check that out. It was only on Humble Bumble. I can't even say the name of the other platform because I didn't dare put it on this one. We're going to see if I can put this one on YouTube. I don't know. We'll find out after we're done recording. But without further ado, Mr. Forbes, how are you?
Hey, Clinton. How's it going, man?
I'm good, dude. Good. Well, you're in the teeth of a rap battle between Kendrick Lamar and Drake. How's that feel, dude?
Welcome to Liberty Lockdown. Please scan your barcode. Your liberty ain't gone, but yeah, it's on hold. Where did it come from and where did it go?
It's pretty wild. And I mean, you know, I'm not being called out directly, but I'm just happy that people like MH370 is back in the zeitgeist. People are talking about it. They're wondering how this plane just disappeared, you know, even though it happened 10 years ago. And I think that's really important, is that even just to begin, we need to understand that like planes don't disappear in 2014. It's super weird. And I think the more people that kind of wake up to that, the more people will kind of come around like you have in terms of, you know, being more and more confident that what we see in the MH370 videos and what I've been proposing here is what really happened to the plane. So I was happy to hear that you said that, you know, you think the video, you're 98% on board, you know, because I think that people should be skeptical. The claims I'm putting forth are paradigm shifting. I mean, yeah. We are talking, this is stuff that like even people that are out there don't come up with this stuff. We got people in the UFO community and stuff like that. They're like, oh yeah, well, I think we have anti-gravity and stuff. And I'm like, nah, we got warp drive. We can literally just manipulate extra dimensions. So that doesn't surprise me for people to be skeptical out there.
Dude, what if Drake dropped another diss track last night? What if Kendrick responds and he says, you came up blasting, but I'm leaving you lost like Ashton? What if he goes there?
If we get there, then I'm gonna be like, okay, we've made it, guys. We've made it. Doesn't get any better than this. Like being in the middle of a rap beef is like probably like way up there on my bucket list. You know, like that would be like the pinnacle of achievement, honestly.
For sure, dude.
Maybe better than free energy.
for me, Kendrick is like my favorite. So if he were to utter your name, that would be legendary. Anyways, I saw you beefing with what's his name, Kim.
Kim.com. Yeah. I've been calling him Kim.gov because it's pretty weird.
Yeah, for my audience's sake, if you could just kind of recap what transpired there.
Yeah, so Kim.com reached out to me back in November, like out of nowhere, and all of a sudden wanted to connect, wanted to support the work. He was never involved in any like UFO weird technology stuff like that. Like he's more just like anti-government in general. Right. And I knew right away.
Same exact thing I did because I wasn't in the UFO scene and I reached out to you.
But in his case, it was a different trajectory. Yeah, it was a little bit different because he like was calling me and we were having personal calls and like trying to coordinate stuff. And I will never tie myself to an influencer like I did with him. Like I learned my lesson since then because Kim.com didn't want this stuff to be real. Like he's on the record saying that in general. And I should have been more skeptical of him.
Would he not want it to be real? That's interesting.
I don't know. That's a weird thing. Cause I think for a lot of people, this idea of advanced technology breaks the paradigm and then says that, like, well, if that's real, then how have we been getting lied to like this? But for someone like Kim.com, who knows the government lies, that he's exactly. been raided by the U.S. government, they're trying to extradite him for his crimes related to Mega Upload. Like, he should be somebody who's all on board with this, which is why I thought it was pretty odd that when this cloud debunk came out in December, early December, somebody inexplicably, so like a six-day-old Reddit account, inexplicably says they find some cloud picture on the internet out of thousands of millions of clouds, and that if you stretch it and reorient it and stitch it together, you can create the background for the MH370 satellite image and or video. And it's already defies belief because we've shown that the illumination from the zap in that video is accurate in three dimensions. We've shown that the clouds line up from two different perspectives, which would indicate that and that the clouds are not just moving, but evolving naturally, given that we're not looking down at a close range. We've got satellites in outer space that are sending this data. So the apparent cloud movement is going to be very minimal compared to, like, if you were flying in a plane right above some clouds, watching them go by, or in a, let's say, like, I think the ISIS or ISS space station. It's not going to look like that at all.
Right. Plus, the clouds would move in unison with each other because they're in the same, you know, wind vane or whatever. So it would be hard to see, you know, differences between the two to really differentiate. At least that I would think. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, too, is that each perspective we see in the satellite, MH370 satellite video, it changes perspectives. Each perspective is only like 5 seconds long. So it's not like you're sitting there staring at clouds. And even if I were to look outside right now and look at the clouds, they don't look like they're moving. And those clouds are relatively close compared to how far a satellite's going to be.
Right.
But for some reason, Kim.com...
Why would they create this video 8 years ago? Like,
you mean someone who is going to hoax it? You mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And 10 years ago. And that's, there is no comprehensive story for who faked the videos, why they faked the videos. And this is the difference between the investigation I put forth and the one that the debunkers are trying to do, is that the debunkers aren't trying to solve the case. They're not trying to figure out what happened. They're trying to make these videos go away. What I'm trying to do is figure out what really happened, and what really happened appears to be what we see in those videos, based not just on the videos themselves and the investigation of those, but the investigation related to the MH370 disappearance in general, as well as the science we see in those videos also appears to be suppressed. And that has come from, like, Navy engineer Salvatore Paez, my friend Dave Rossi, who's a DOD engineer and contractor, who I just did a very long stream with yesterday, where we go through these Defense Intelligence Agency papers about wormholes, humanly traversable wormholes, warp drive, and what the nature of dark energy. And I just wonder,
is he claiming that they exist?
He's on the record saying he has seen the types of effects in private labs that we are looking at in those videos.
Wow.
And that was bold. I have to say multiple times that neither I or Dave would ever harm ourselves. We just want to be clear. There's a lot of whistleblowers that are just mysteriously falling over dead. Yeah. So we just want to cover our bases.
Hi Boeing. Yeah.
And Boeing Phantom Works is one of these defense contractors. I personally think that Lockheed Skunk Works is the one that I'm a little bit more afraid of, but I don't trust any of those defense contractors. No. So. But going back to the cloud picture and Kim.com saga, he's the one who came out with this bounty idea. So I don't know what Kim's total deal here is, but because he did come up with the bounty, which was big, got us a lot of attention. No hoaxer ever came forward. The bounty was never collected. But he misrepresented the bounty. He appeared again after 5 months. I hadn't talked to Kim.com since December. He was satisfied with this cloud picture. He moved on. I said, fine, Kim, you want to move on? That's great. I'm not convinced by the cloud picture. I showed him the evidence for why the cloud picture makes no sense. Like, how do you even make a 3D rendered environment out of a 2D picture? It seems more intuitive that you would take the videos that we have and make a 2D cloud picture out of it. In fact, people have shown you can use AI to do that in like a minute. So that seems much more likely, especially the fact that a lot of these debunkers have been fabricating fake debunks, fabricating fake files, pulling scams on me. You can't really trust anything you see on Reddit that's out there. But if he doesn't thinks they're fake, I said, okay, move on. But then all of a sudden, after 5 months, he comes out of nowhere, starts showing up in my replies saying how I'm lying and that I believe that the videos are fake, when I'm like on the record multiple times saying that they are definitely real, in my opinion, and saying that I'm scamming people. And for someone like Kim.com, who is, if you look up his history, and this is my opinion, he appears to be a career criminal who is been selling fake credit cards, buying fake credit cards his whole life. He's turned informant multiple times in the past. His whole past is extremely sketchy. In addition to the fact that he's literally fighting extradition to the United States right now, where people just turned on him and went to prison, some of his old Mega Upload executives.
There's obviously that there could be leverage that's being put against
that's him. What I'm getting at is that he told me personally in one of our calls that the United States government seized all his Mega Upload money and they pay it back to him in like an allowance. So whether or not he's honest or not, like, I cannot trust him and I have to avoid him in general. And I think it's extremely suspicious that out of nowhere, once I'm starting to get all this attention again, that he's coming out there and trying to spread these lies about me. Which, you know, for someone like him to defame me, like, in such an open public way like that is very bizarre. And
have you profited tremendously from this endeavor?
No, because it seems not like
you're pouring every ounce of your free time into it. And I haven't seen you ask for money or anything. So, like, what's his claim that you're lying?
And you've never charged me, right? No podcasters. No. I've never been paid to go on any podcast appearance.
Never even ever thought, as far as
I never thought about it either. The only money that I've even made related to this is from my X account and my YouTube account. And I don't actually have even subscriptions set up. I've literally never asked anybody for money. I've never sold anything to anybody. I just have super chats turned on YouTube. So if people want to donate, they can. And every time they do, I tell people, don't send me money if you need your money. I'd rather have you keep your money.
Right.
With respect to my X account, like, none of this stuff is very lucrative.
The reason I asked is just because I haven't sensed that about you. So that claim seems pretty low, like a low blow.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's a lot of personal attacks. And this kind of shows that there's like this real weird element of dishonesty and disinformation about trying to get these videos to go away, where people keep promoting these debunks that I've already conclusively refuted. And they disingenuously kind of like promote them in a way that ignores the stuff that I've presented that refutes them. They attack me personally. They keep trying to attack my character. They keep trying to make these lies and claims up about me trying to grift for money and stuff like that. Where it's like, especially if you look at the UFO community, I'm like the least grifty person out of all these UFO community people selling books and these videos and comic books and all this stuff that people sell out there. And I've been very careful that I want to separate the idea of making money from this, because I just want to show people that I'm just like a normal guy. In fact, I'm taking great personal risk. Like, I'm risking my job doing this. My job pays much more than, you know, the amount of money I've made. Like, even if I were to add it up over the last, 8 or 9 months, is probably just a few thousand dollars total. Exactly. Like, this is like less than making, if I were to go work at McDonald's, I'm going to make more money than what I'm doing here by far.
And you're putting out like 10 hours of content per week, and they're like,
But if I lose my job, like, I'm an actual serious, like, it's a problem too, because now I'm so high profile too. It's like everywhere I go, people are going to Google my name and look up all this stuff, see this defamatory content. So I do worry about it a little bit, but for the most part, like, I think that the cause is noble. I think at the end of the day, you know, you wanted me to come on to talk about what are the biggest revelations. And what I want people to know right off the bat is that these videos lead to the idea of free energy. And if you think about free energy and what that means for the whole world, that is such a tremendous discovery that it will change everything. And it even explains why the suppression as well. And it may even be justifiable reasons for the suppression. You know, I don't want us to destroy ourselves, but I do look at it, and I think you'll appreciate this, because I think we have similar political takes, is that imagine if we have free energy, how much less of a reliance we would have on our government. If I can just have like a generator in my home, I can go live in the woods and I can have generator that can run my whole house, every appliance that I've got out there, and be completely off the grid.
Well, not only that, but it would also undermine much of the catalyst for the entire global war on terror, toppling, you know, dictators, because we're in pursuit of resources. All those resources are ultimately converted into energy sources. It's like, it could be kind of a panacea that would usher us into a much more peaceful era, theoretically.
No, yeah, definitely. And I think that people ask, well, if we have this crazy advanced technology, why have we not taken over the world? Why do we have these wars in the Ukraine Palestine? And I just kind of laugh and I go, you don't really understand geopolitics if you think that's the case, is that wars are not meant to be won. They're meant to be persistent. Wars are about money. And you can't just, take over China, take over Russia, and then what? Now they annex them? How do you think the people there are going to respond to that? I mean, just look at the war in Ukraine. It's all about people that were ethnic Russians that are wanting to be, you know, reconnected to Russia as opposed to being part of the Ukraine. things are not that simple. And it kind of goes.
I will say though that there are aspects of the war in Ukraine, particularly that are about energy, because the Nord Stream pipeline that ran right through there. You know, Russia didn't like paying a bounty to the Ukrainians, particularly given what was happening with the ethnic Russians. They were like, we're not going to keep doing this. So, but just getting back to the I mean, limitless energy is quite the claim. What have you seen? What conversations have you had that makes you think that this video demonstrates that technology exists?
Yeah. And so it's kind of the journey of when we first started, it was like, these videos are incredible. Let's see if they're real. And then finding a bunch of details where corroborates what really happened on the plane, telling this story of this lithium ion battery fire, going, whoa, like all these people, witnesses were discredited. And you find out these videos do tell the true story of what happened on the plane. And then you look in the technology and you go, well, this is like anti-gravitational technology. Let's dig into that. And that's what I've been focused on probably since the last time we spoke, somewhere in the fall or winter of last year. And I came across a guy, Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Bearden, who has been talking about the fact that Maxwell's electrical engineering equations, they were reduced by Oliver Heaviside. And when they were reduced, this took away gravity manipulation out of them. And so Oliver Heaviside's equations allow for everything that's going on right now, this stream that we're doing right now. But it takes away the ability of what they refer to as the stress in the medium. And if I were to describe that, what I would say is if you take this rubber band right here, and if I were to pull on both sides equally, the rubber band's not going to move left or right. So, and the equations would say that this force is canceling out on both sides. We have equal and opposite forces canceling out. But I can pull a little bit harder. Still equal and opposite force canceling out. Keep pulling a little harder. Eventually, I'll pull hard enough, and this rubber band is going to snap. But if the forces are canceling out, why is the rubber band snapping? Because there's a stress here in the medium. Now, if you do that same thing with electromagnetic waves in our space-time, then what do you get? You get gravity manipulation. This is the scalar potential. This is what was taken out. Imagine like a squishy ball, and you're squishing that ball. That's gravity. That's the scalar potential. It doesn't have a vector potential. You zero out the vector potential of your magnetic field or your electric field, and that's what you're left with. And this is what Thomas Bearden was promoting.
Today's episode of Liberty Lockdown with Ashton Forbes is brought to you by Real Rife Technology. This is a very interesting device. I'm going to show it to you because it's too crazy to be believed. If I don't show it to you, you'll be like, what the hell is that thing? All right, look, I don't know what this thing is. I'm not smart enough to tell you, but I've been using it for a couple days now, and it is a very interesting, I think it could be a real scientific breakthrough. It's based off of some of the technologies. I mean, look, I'm not going to even pretend to try and explain this to you. I'm just going to advise you that you need to be going to realrifetechnology.com. That's R-E-A-L-R-I-F-E technology.com. Check it out for yourself. Check out the tutorials on how you use it. Check out all of the studies they've done on efficacy. This is not medical advice. This is just I think that with this audience, given that I'm talking to Ashton Forbes right now, all of the new technological breakthroughs that we might be witnessing in real time, this might be one of them. Check it out for yourself. Again, realrifetechnology.com.
And when you look into this, then you realize you can create something called a scalar wave, which is you can take that potential and you can transmit it potentially with a laser or other device. And this is what radar is capable of doing. People think that radar is just a passive device, but actually it is something that can actually transmit energy. And the way that you do that is that you create that zeroing out of the electromagnetic field so that you have no vector potential. And if you were to use an EMF detector, you're going to find no electromagnetic field there. But then what you do is you cross the beams, so to speak, like in Ghostbusters. So you take two of these and you cross them. And then in that interferometry zone, you can recreate energy at a distance. And this is what Thomas Bearden had promoted. But where is that energy coming from? And you can also do something called a cold explosion, which is you can absorb energy out of that location. And when I started to read into this, you find out that Thomas Bearden has been talking about the ether and unlimited free energy and Tesla being correct since the 80s, at least 38 years ago. And he's explaining exactly what we see in the MH370 videos back in lectures in 1985. He literally talks about using this scalar interferometry to produce a cold explosion and absorb mass and energy from the location and transmit it somewhere else. And last time I was on, I think Ian was on with us. Yep. And I believe I mentioned the idea of macroscopic phase conjugation. And he thought about it and he didn't poo-poo it. And he's a very smart guy. Mm-hmm. But now I understand how it works. So I started looking up optical phase conjugation, which also looks like magic. It's how they do holography to make 3D holograms out of 2D images. Mm-hmm. And it's a very similar concept. And so what we see happening, and Thomas Bearden mentions this, is that you create a zero-point system for your pump waves. And so a zero-point system can be like two lines that are intersecting. So you get your vectors cancel out. So you have your waves cancel out like this. But another way you can do it is a triangle, a perfect equilateral triangle. And that's what we see in the MH370 videos. So the orbs are acting as the pump waves. What they're doing is they're creating a zero-point system. They're all shooting their waves directly at the center of mass of the plane. And they're all canceling one another out. And what then you do is you take another fourth orb and you shoot it at that intersection zone. And what it does is it creates a phase conjugate reflection back the other way.
No way.
And interferometry like this can use any type of wave. So if you can then produce a gravity wave, now you've got your system mechanism for producing a wormhole, at least something that would be a real wormhole based on scalar interferometry. And this is where you have this idea of you get your rubber band and you've got your pump waves over here and you've got your fourth orb over here, which could be anywhere. And then you have these orbs converge, which like we see in the videos, where this is consistent with Coulomb's law, where the force increases as the charges get closer and closer and closer, and it increases exponentially. And then all of a sudden you have this breakdown of space-time, which is breaking the Schwinger limit, where things become non-linear. Imagine like ripping through a painting to get to the underlying canvas underneath. It's much like that. And then boom, your thing slingshots. Now, the other part that we noticed is that the orbs, if you're looking at the plane in the videos, the orbs are rotating clockwise. I'm going to see if I can do this correctly. I think, yeah, clockwise. For you guys watching, this would be clockwise. So if you look at it, and then you look at the right-hand rule in electrical engineering, the right-hand rule, if those are your magnetic curling vector, and then you've got your electric vector here is your thumb, then what would happen is you're going to get a pointing vector, which is going to say your direction or your vector of travel. Now, if you do that to the plane in the videos, what you get is you get the plane going backwards, is the direction of the vector based on the orb spinning around at that clockwise orientation. And then when you look at that, you realize that in the frame between the plane blurring out and the next frame where you see it looks like the tail sticking out of this mouth of this wormhole, you realize the plane looks like it's getting sucked backwards, consistent with the right-hand rule, which would say that the vector should be going backwards. But there's more. The plane is going east in the video. We know that because we can see the coordinates, and we map the coordinates out, and we can tell the coordinates are going, the plane's flying south into the east. Well, if it's getting sucked backwards, that would mean it's going somewhere to the west. And this is actually exactly where we need the plane to go to be consistent with a B-777 fire suppression device that washes up in the Maldives a little bit later, as well as 20 islanders in the Maldives. So what's west of the Nicobar Islands, where the coordinates are? The Maldives are. That's exactly where 20 islanders on a small island of only 3,000 people swear they saw the plane, they saw the jumbo jet, they saw the windows, they see the red and white stripe, a red and blue stripe of Malaysian Airlines, and they see it flying from the west south. Wow. So this is why it all starts to fit together with this plane somehow got to Diego Garcia's. This is how the experts out there dismissed it, because they said these people couldn't have seen it. The plane would have been coming from the wrong direction, should have been coming from the east. But we've got this warp event where the plane is literally being warped from one location to the other. And then the last thing I want to say is that people might say, well, why did it not go to the moon? Or why did it not go to another galaxy? Or why did it not go to another dimension? Is that the idea of there being this extra dimension doesn't mean that you're going to like the bizarro world. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to a different timeline. And then the idea of like why it didn't go to the moon is that there may still be limitations to this technology. It's like you may still have to have a fourth orb somewhere where it's going to go to. So, and there may have to be a certain specific directive vector. And because the phones are ringing as well, it would imply that this plane ended up somewhere else here on Earth. And just because we've figured this technology out doesn't mean we're ready to go to the Andromeda Galaxy. It means we may have the basis for it, but we may still have to be able to advance it much further before we get to that type of
capability. Well, wouldn't you need to have the fourth orb already in the Andromeda Galaxy to get it there?
Exactly. At least based on the current iteration of our technology, then yes, potentially. And then you'd have you'd have to send it there or send it to the moon in order for that to happen. Now, maybe if this technology is real and we're able to advance it further and further, maybe we can find some entangled particle that's already in the Andromeda Galaxy and use that as the slingshot effect. So this is where you could imagine, like, even though we might have crazy advanced technology, it can still go much further than where we even see it in these videos, which are 10 years old.
So the I guess the islanders, the you said it was the Nicobar Islands?
No, so the Nicobar Islands is where we see it disappear. That's where Catherine T is sitting there, and she sees this glowing orange plane descending, flying low with black smoke coming out of the back of it. The Nicobar Islands is also where the intercepted Mayday call from Chinese, China Times reported an intercepted communication from MH370 that they got from the Thai embassy that said the Malaysian Airlines captain was, the plane was disintegrating and attempting an emergency landing, which is consistent with Catherine T's sighting. And then the west is the Maldives, which is where Diego Garcia is in the Maldives, and where these islanders saw the plane flying south towards the direction of travel of the military.
This is my question for you. So the people that saw it in the Maldives, is the theory that the fourth orb was there, it teleported the plane from the Nicobar to the Maldives, and that's where they see essentially the crash landing or landing?
So we don't know, like, exactly. We don't have two other videos, so, like, this is the part where I always have to say it's speculative, of course. Is like, I'm very confident in the stuff that we can see in the videos.
A lot of this is speculative, but
yeah, of course. You know, but I mean, the stuff in the videos and what we see is, like, you know, we've got hard evidence there, we've got corroborating evidence from witnesses. With respect to where exactly it showed up, we can't say with 100% certainty. What we can say is some people saw the plane in the early morning hours, a few hours later in the Maldives, and that the B-777 fire suppression device washes up in the Maldives. And it looks like the vector of the plane would be going to the west. Now, how far to the west does it go? Don't know. Does it land and then take off again? Don't know. So that's the part that becomes very difficult to know exactly, you know, where it shows up, what happened to the people. A lot of people ask me, where did it go? And, you know, I would say Diego Garcia, because also there's a Philip Wood picture that showed up on 4chan that said that he was being held captive there. And it's a black picture that's got EXIF data that says that, you know, that's the location. But, you know, that's not, like, conclusive. It's evidence.
Sorry, who's Philip Wood?
He's the only adult American passenger on board this plane. And so people ask me, like, what happened to him? What happened to the passengers? And my true opinion, and this is, again, speculative, is that I think that probably at least some, if not many, of the passengers had already passed away by the time we see those videos happen because of the lithium-ion battery fire scenario, the smoke coming out of the back, the fact that it would have been very cold. I don't know that they necessarily suffocated, but they might have. I think that they would have potentially succumbed to the toxic fumes. Also, I don't trust a Boeing aircraft. I've read that it's very possible that some of the plastics in those planes are very toxic. So if this plane is on fire and those plastics are melting, it's going to be
probably
a tough situation.
Yeah,
and those not healthy. People don't know, but the masks.
Are you sure you're not suicidal? Because you're talking shit about Boeing. I don't know if that's
to be very. This is the second time I've had to say I'm not suicidal today because we're talking about Boeing stuff and Boeing whistleblowers are just falling over left and right.
I'm kidding, Boeing. Relax.
Yeah, and their planes are falling apart left and right. But yeah, no, I actually found an old blog post where a guy's like, I used to be a contractor for Boeing in 2007. And he says he like was told to falsify like this, toxic fume burn analysis that, and says that like executives won't even fly in Boeing aircrafts because they know how dangerous they are. And that, and like that, if you fly on a 787, you should say your prayers before you get on it. I'm like, oh my God. I was reading that. I'm like, oh boy, this is wild. Like, and it's like a 3-page long, like analysis. And he's like naming names of very specific people too, that I'm sure we could look up and see if they work at Boeing. Scary stuff, but I digress. You know, and condolences to the families, because I don't want to give false hope, because it looks very unlikely that people would have survived even just to the macroscopic phase conjugation event. And then after that, like, if people did survive, they probably would have become wards of the state. Like, we would have maybe put them in witness protection
into experimental analysis. Yeah. Like, because I can't imagine if this is real and if it's what we're seeing is essentially a wormhole that was created to teleport a plane from, you know, moving 400 miles per hour or whatever the speed was. It's like, well, these people are now like real experimental beings. Like they've done something that is, to the best of my knowledge, had never happened in history. Do you think that so you said earlier that the other physicists you were talking to thought that these wormholes would be human traversable, but if your belief is that these people would have perished because of the phase conjugation, is that not kind of demonstrative of it not being survivable?
No, I don't think the phase conjugation will kill them personally. I've seen no reason to believe that either. Even the Defense Intelligence Agency papers that I looked at about warp drive, wormholes, and dark energy say that it's like walking through a doorway, as that there is no event horizon. So the difference, the reason why Don Lemon was wrong is that it's not a black hole. The difference is there's an event horizon in the black hole, where if you go past the event horizon, nothing can escape due to the amount of mass, not even light. With a wormhole, there is no event horizon. And this is the difference. This is why it becomes humanly traversable. This means that the G-forces are actually not going to rip you to shreds if you walk through it. So this is why it's essentially like walking through a doorway, and then you're just on the other side. And from their perspective, you're in one place 1 second, and then the next second you're somewhere else. From the outside observer's perspective, it looks like you traveled faster than the speed of light, which is what we see in the videos, is it's there and then it's gone the next instant. Right. And there may be a time dilation effect, but the Defense Intelligence Agency papers actually say that there wouldn't be a time dilation effect, which I find interesting. Like, I'm gonna talk about the time travel stuff another time. Like, I don't know, it's mind bending when you get into that. Like, can you time travel or not? I don't know.
I'm already confused. Don't take
it. Yeah. So for now, it's mostly just, yeah, you could walk through it and you would be fine. And in fact, the person, Juan Maldacena, he and Leonard Susskind are two famous physicists that have promoted ER equals EPR, which is the idea of Einstein-Rosen bridge, a wormhole, being equivalent to Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen, which is quantum entanglement. And we know quantum teleportation is real. I just posted another article about it, I think yesterday. They got several hundred thousand views. The real question is, how do we scale that up to the macroscopic level? What does it mean? I think we're looking in these videos at the very first, maybe ever humanly recorded, traversable wormhole. And he said the same thing that the Defense Intelligence papers say, because he came up with this theory with, or at least promoted the theory with Leonard Susskind, and have done the math and physics on it. And then since 2000 or 2020 and beyond, there's been three different papers about humanly traversable wormholes. Some of them even argue you don't need exotic matter. And with respect to exotic matter, what you need is something called negative energy. And this is where the ether comes back in. This is where Tesla was right.
Today's episode is brought to you by sheathunderwear.com. They sent me a few pairs, and let me tell you, they're the most comfortable, highest quality boxer briefs I have ever owned. This is not hyperbole whatsoever. I only wear them at the gym, because the rest of the time I live the freest life imaginable. But at the gym, your boy's feeling comfy. Feeling cozy, even. They're great for working out. They're the most comfortable materials I've ever owned when it comes to boxer briefs, or really any piece of clothing, to be honest. They're really, really nice. Not an exaggeration. So for 2024, step up your underwear game. Graduate from holes, loose fabrics, cheap cotton briefs that bunch up, and buy the greatest underwear that has ever graced the balls of man. Sheath Underwear, the underwear of legends. Sheath can be worn as boxer briefs, or you can use the incredibly high-tech sheath pouch to keep everything separated. That's your choice, because we like choice around here. I wear these every day, and I can tell you that these are the most comfortable pair of briefs I have ever worn. Go to sheathunderwear.com, and if you use promo code LIBERTY, you're going to get 20% off. Once again, sheathunderwear.com, promo code LIBERTY for 20% off. Let's get back into the show.
Is that the access to the answer to dark energy and the answer to needing that negative energy is all one and the same. Is that the ether itself is the interaction between our reality and the underlying framework construct that we live in. And that is what gives us access to unlimited negative energy. And if we do exactly what those orbs did and converge and create this energy densities that are big enough to break through the Schwinger limit, the non-locality or non-linearity that we are creating there is a hole to the ether, which has unlimited negative energy. And that's really the missing link between a lot of this. And what it means from a physics perspective is that we have to reevaluate the idea of the second law of thermodynamics, which essentially says that you can't, that hot always flows to cold, and you can never have a perfectly efficient system. In fact, superconductivity already kind of shows that that's not necessarily true. And it also is the idea that you can't create over unity, more energy out than you put in. The way around it is that you open your system up. You take Pac-Man and you open his mouth up and you say, okay, well, maybe our closed system can't get more energy out than we put in. But if we open that system up and we use energy from the outside, and then we put our own energy in, now we can get more total energy out than what we are locally putting in, which is the idea of free energy. And that's where that comes from. The other thing that we're going to have to rewrite is the law of conservation of energy. For similar reasons, because that says the idea that energy cannot be created nor destroyed. But if you can tap into an unlimited reservoir of energy, like the ether, for example, now you can have this idea that you can produce what seems like locally unlimited energy. Now, some people would argue it's not necessarily violating it, because if you have this reservoir of unlimited energy, you're just borrowing it from that location. Therefore, you're still not violating the law of conservation of energy. But most mainstream physicists would say that you are in that case. So that's why we have to either reinterpret it or potentially rewrite it, which I know these are bold claims to make, but I'm sticking by them. And if I end up being right, well, here's the proof.
I mean, this is incredible stuff. So yeah. if you are correct, and if this is the first, you know, videoed wormhole, that was 10 years ago. That means that this technology has undoubtedly advanced itself. Is it possible, in your opinion, or in your, you know, research, to create one, a permanently traversable wormhole, not one that occurs with a snap where you have the fourth orb that takes something somewhere, but rather you can create essentially a teleportation device? You can, like, we were talking about Ukraine, Russia earlier. The West, France, UK, the Americans are all sending munitions to Ukraine. Couldn't you create a portal and just, like, here's more 223? Like,
or a Stargate, like, yeah. The show Stargate?
Yeah.
And so what I'll say here, and this is going to be this is a trust me, bro situation, is that I've heard that the defense contractors actually have Stargate, so that it's potentially easier to make a Stargate than it is to make the wormhole like we see with this plane. And if that's the case, you can imagine that there are underground labs and facilities where they can just go through their portal, push the equipment right through the portal, and now you just have it. I don't think you send it to Ukraine, because we just send the old obsolete munitions to Ukraine that we don't need, and then they go kill Russians for us and what have you. But with respect to the defense contractor, that's a great way to hide stuff that you don't want people to see on the surface. You have an underground base, you have a Stargate down there. I think that there's a non-zero chance that there's literally people that have walked through Stargates on this planet. Which blows my mind, because if you had asked me that a year ago, I'd said, you're absolutely out of your mind. Crazy, and now I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, it actually seems pretty damn plausible. Because when you look at the orbs, this is another thing that relatively recently I figured out. And the more and more you look at these videos, the more you discern. And I don't think there's been any hoax videos that, like, you can discern this much information consistent with these, you know, Defense Intelligence Agency papers, is that this is not the first iteration of this technology. This, like, you look at this, we got floaty orbs going on. They're shooting, dark energy lasers, as I was calling it, that essentially is creating these gravitational wells that they're falling through. And then they're also creating the singularity. So, and this all comes back to toruses, like a donut shape. So there's some kind of torus within this orb, creating the field around it. And they're creating a torus above them, between them, and a larger torus between the three of them around the plane. And I would imagine that the first iteration of this technology, going back to Thomas Bearden and the scalar interferometry, would be like radar dishes. And you shoot the radar dishes at a point, and then the limitation there is potentially line of sight. Or even if you can bounce it off the ionosphere, you still have a limit. So then the next iteration is, well, put it in a satellite. Put it in satellites looking down. Now you can create it even easier. And the next iteration after that is, well, let's make some floaty orbs that we can just send anywhere we want on the planet and have this localized effect anywhere we want. So I look at this, and that's what scared me, was that when I started, especially when I found Thomas Bearden talking about this in the 80s, right. I was like, wait, how long have we had this? And I started looking back, and I find the Philadelphia experiment, 1943. And I'm like, whoa, I wonder if we accidentally figured out how to bend space-time in 1943. And then since then, we've been, you know, figuring out how to manipulate it, utilize it, perfect it. And maybe it wasn't until the 2000s when we start getting quantum computers, supercomputers, that we really were able to take off with it. Because when you look at those orbs, there's nobody inside those orbs. There's no aliens in them or humans. This is some kind of remote control or some kind of homing tracking system that you see. I posted a tweet the other day that's actually an old tweet from early in the investigation. I've been looking back at that early data that people were pulling off on social media. And it's a perfect sine wave that these orbs are performing. It's actually a perfect three-phase, 0.120-degree system. In electrical engineering,
there's no human piloting that, for sure.
Yeah, there's no human. No, that's so. When you look at that, you're like, I wonder if, like, quantum computers are a thing here. And we're not talking about dematerialization, rematerialization. That might be something maybe in the future. If we can do this, maybe. But that's even well beyond what we're looking at here. This is still as crazy as this seems, paradigm shifting, I'm now convinced this is still like early infancy of this type of technology, that it can go much, much, much further than that.
Well, of course. I mean, if they have, you know, if they've wrapped their heads around this level of physics, it's basically limitless. This is the internet all over again. It really does change the entire, you know, human experience, like what we're capable of, where we can travel to. What I do find interesting is that Elon Musk, who is, you know, very big about becoming a multiplanetary species, has not, to the best of my knowledge, shown any interest in this story. Now, keeping in mind, he is also very much, you know, he benefits significantly to his relationships with the government. So perhaps he has an incentive not to talk about this, but I'm curious, what's your thoughts on that?
It's a very interesting comment, because the Hodge twins started retweeting my content, and they asked Elon Musk for a comment, and he ended up replying.
Oh, he did. I did not see that.
Yeah, it was a copy paste. Let me pull it up real quick here, because it's been getting made in the news. Actually, in fact, somebody sent me a link to a Vietnam newspaper article where they actually talk about me and the videos and Elon Musk's response. And his response was a copy and paste that he's posted before, like literally copy paste. He said, "I have seen no evidence of aliens. If I did, I would 100 post about it on X instantly. SpaceX has almost 6,000 satellites in orbit, and not once have we had to maneuver around aliens."
I get asked that a lot. And for some reason, a lot of the same people who think there are aliens among us don't think we went to the moon, which I'm like, think about that for a second. you know, so, but I think I would, I mean, if I've not seen any evidence of aliens, and SpaceX with the Starlink constellation has roughly 6,000 satellites, and not once have we had to maneuver around a UFO. Okay. So,
which is a weird response, because I haven't been saying it's aliens at all. I'm saying this is our technology. Right. And, you know, it seems like he's a smart guy. So for him to like completely dodge the question like that is really weird, because like you pointed out, he's got government contracts.
Right.
Some of my sources behind the scenes.
Go ahead. Not just that, but he also has a tremendous incentive to want this technology.
He talks about it. He talks about wanting to go to Mars. Like being able to warp an object is that's how we get to Mars. That's how we become an interstellar species. Like this is it. And so
fixes everything. You don't have to deal with his well, but you know what it does do? It really undermines his entire industry of these large rockets that propel everything to Mars. It's like, well, we don't need you anymore.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. He's a very smart guy. I think it's weird that he is getting around it. I've heard from other sources that he would have potentially been read into stuff like this, and possibly these people have NDAs, they can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I've discovered about this, which you and your audience won't find incredible, but some people do, is that the rich billionaires and elite people of the world, they know about this stuff. They know about free energy. They know, because what they do is they have access to the politicians and the engineers and defense contractor engineers who know about it, and they can build them over Unity devices. Like, I wouldn't surprise me at all if Mark Zuckerberg in his bunker in Hawaii or whatever has a literal over Unity device there that can power the whole bunker without being connected to anything. Would not surprise me at all. And that they're smart enough not to talk about it. And that they potentially even have NDAs about it, because we live in a world where it's the elites have access to this stuff and the rest of the people out there have no idea. And the engineers have no benefit to expose it, because they charge huge amounts of money for these types of devices and they don't want to get disappeared. And even if they were to come out, people are going to discredit them and say it's fake. And even the government will send their people to discredit them on social media, similar to what you see happening to me in these videos right now. So this is how you can begin to imagine how easy it is to suppress this information and the real landscape of the world we live in right now. And I would even argue this goes to the geopolitics aspect, where wouldn't surprise me at all if we are, you know, we don't like Russia, but that Putin is secretly talking to our people behind the scenes all the time, and that the elites of these various countries are all connected as well. And that's the real framework of the world we live in. It's not a matter of these are the good guys and these are the bad guys. It's much grayer than that.
On that, we certainly agree. If you could go back to the Philadelphia experiment, I read about it years ago, but if you could explain it to the audience, because I'm sure most people aren't familiar.
Yeah, and I've got to watch this. There's an interview with Al Bielek, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, where he talks about it in great detail. And Tim Ventura, I actually want to do an interview with Tim Ventura about it, because he's talked to this guy a lot. He's talked to Thomas Bearden a lot in the past as well. I don't think he thinks it was real, but if these videos are real to me, that's where it started. So the Philadelphia experiment was this idea that they we were able to, or this battle cruiser teleported from one location to the other. And Tesla was involved in this. He didn't want any part of it. He thought it was dangerous. I believe Einstein was part of it. Thomas Townsend Brown was part of this. So you've got the smartest people,
right,
engineers out there. And Al Bielek supposedly was part of it as well. And what they did is they built these huge degaussers. So they built these giant electromagnetic devices. Supposedly, according to Al Bielek, they built the ship with this whole thing in mind. That they like built the ship with this experiment in mind, put these giant degaussers on there. What they were trying to do is they were trying to block all the electromagnetic fields so that the ship would be cloaked, invisible from radar, invisible from any type of detection. Mm-hmm. But what you find out is that when you do this, it doesn't just make you invisible from radar. It actually begins to bend space-time entirely. And this is where now space and time are one and the same. So what we would perceive as teleportation is, from a local perspective, time just speeding up for those people with inside the bubble there. So if you imagine they turn these devices on in this ship and they create these huge electromagnetic fields, that this has actually caused some type of space-time disturbance around the ship. And this is why all of a sudden it appears several hundred miles away in a dock where it shouldn't have been. From the perspective of the people looking at it, it's going to look like this ship just went from one location to the other. From the people inside of it, they might be looking out. It might look like everybody on the outside is just moving in super slow-mo, like in extreme slow-mo. And part of the thing about the wormholes is that you can't have the person who's going through the wormhole interact with the exotic matter, the negative energy. So it's like, if you make that wormhole, you don't want to touch the edges. Right. So imagine if they built these degaussers and they didn't realize, and that was not aligned properly, and you've got people in the ship and they're like in the edges where that's happening. This also goes to the idea of like how some of these people got really sick, how some of them supposedly got stuck in the walls and things like that, because you have these weird space-time effects occurring around the ship.
Well, this is the aspect of it that I've always heard about, is that during this experiment that you actually had sailors or whoever that like ended up basically, did they die? I think they died, and they were just like stuck in the like the hull of the ship and shit like that. Like, that's a fucking crazy story if it's true.
Yeah, and so it was the USS Eldridge, is that the ship. You guys can look it up and check into it. And this is the part where it's like it's been marred in, you know, potential disinformation, misinformation. And this was the 40s, so, you know, hiding this, covering this up was a different era than social media age today, where everybody's got a phone. So,
well, all they had to do was call, you know, CBS and tell them, hey, don't cover this. And it was like, the story's gone.
The 40s, who's going to believe it? This was before we even dropped the bomb. So people didn't even know atomic bombs were possible at this point. And that's what people don't realize as well, is that like if you were to go to somebody in the late 30s or early 40s and say that we can drop a bomb that can destroy a whole city, they would also think you're crazy at that point. It wasn't until after that we realized E equals MC squared is an extremely powerful equation, and that this is how we can create atomic bombs. In fact, Tucker Carlson was just floating this idea to Joe Rogan that even potentially nuclear weapons might be some type of reverse engineered technology that we've been able to figure out. Because I think what people wonder related to this, and they ask me a lot, is like, where does this come from? Like, how do we all of a sudden have this unification of quantum field theory and general relativity like this? And the answer is, I don't know. I can't tell if we figured this out naturally and we've been covering it up. Maybe we're saying that maybe the whole aliens thing is just a distraction so that people don't focus on this. Maybe we dug something up from a past civilization and we found this effects out. Maybe there are aliens and that's how we figured it out. I really don't know. And that's what maybe I think is so interesting.
Interdimensional beings, not even aliens. It could be, you take an ayahuasca journey, they give you the information, the machine elves. I mean, there's lots of options out there.
There's a lot. If you actually look at some of these, they have like papers about all the different types of what the phenomenon could be. And it's like there's graphs of so many different options. You can even believe it. Cryptids, future humans. I really have no idea. I actually don't even really care that much. I do think it's interesting. But for me, it's like free energy is going to change the world. Yeah. I am tired of seeing homeless people everywhere, see people hungry all over this planet, especially in our own country. 670,000 documented homeless people in this country. Yep. You know, and to me, that's just, it's sickening. Yeah, it's sickening. And that doesn't even count the people like living in their cars and stuff like that as well, where we could have free energy.
That's just the people in California. There's a half a million.
Yeah. No, it literally is. No, but and I used to live in California, and actually, like, that's where I became such a strong advocate, because California spends so much money on homelessness. and accomplishes nothing. Yep. And that's what upsets me, where it's like, if we just have free energy, we can solve at least scarcity from a perspective of people shouldn't have to at least be hungry and have housing.
Do you think that this technology is so advanced that, like, if it was open source, anybody could duplicate it, or does it require a really high level physicist to, like, make this stuff actually work?
I think a lot of people are already doing it online, smart electrical engineers. And if you or your families out there, for the people watching, you know, if you have kids and you want them to know, like, what's the thing to get into, electrical engineering is the secrets of the universe. Physics is also important, but electrical engineering. And I was off. I thought physics would have the answers, and I never knew. If I knew, I'd probably go back and study electrical engineering. The problem is probably the material science is expensive. So, you know, I've been told that these types of devices are going to cost upwards of almost $100,000 or more. And that's because
That's cheap if you get unlimited energy forever.
Yeah, and you kind of have to weigh it. You have to weigh it, right? And this is the part too, where it's like, if this is real, then I'd want to go into business selling these to people, especially people that want to be off the grid. And then it's a question of how do you get it cheap enough, and how do you market it to people so that they can afford it? Kind of like maybe how people would buy a car, honestly.
Well, you could just get one we already have the electrical grid. You could just get one big one for every city, and you're basically done.
Yeah, and I guess the big question there is how much can it output versus per the size.
If you could scale it, you would think. Mm-hmm. Like, if a personal one is 100,000, if you were to spend $1 billion on some crazy super advanced one, it could probably service all of Miami. Like,
So here's the downside too, though, is that when you start to create these over-unity devices, and this kind of goes into the Philadelphia experiment, is you start to realize that the device itself starts to lose mass. And the reason why it starts to lose mass is there's an intricate relationship between free energy and anti-gravity, that these actually begin to create a field around them. And that field might be dangerous. You do not want to necessarily be around that. Remember the Philadelphia experiment. You know, you don't want to get warped into a wall. Or imagine that space-time is moving faster inside the bubble and you're on the outside of it. Like, and you put your arm in it, what's going to happen? Right. You're going to come out and your arm's going to be a skeleton or something, you know, or be older on that side.
Right.
You may not
want to scale it that large then, is what you're saying.
Like, yes. You want to be very careful, better. I think. And I think that when you look at it, there's a lot of risks that go along with this, is that this technology, especially free energy, is that, you know, we're talking about the good stuff. I think that the climate change stuff is just a giant scam. If we have this kind of technology, we don't need to worry about pollution anymore. We shouldn't have to worry about it. We have free green energy anytime we want. And I think that's what the future is. But then there's the downsides of this stuff too, which is, you imagine unlimited energy is also unlimited destructive potential as well. Literally unbelievable. I mean, Salvatore Pius's high frequency gravitational wave generator has a part in it where it says you can amplify energy to such a degree where you could destroy a planetoid or asteroid. And he's kind of being coy there. You could destroy the whole planet. I was talking to Bob Greenier, who is a low energy nuclear reaction engineer, which is cold fusion. And he's saying, no, we can destroy a whole sun with this. And then I scale it up more and I'm like, we might be able to make a whole big bang with this. So to me, this is the dangerous part, is that
maybe that's how the universe began.
Maybe it is. And that's what I think is kind of a beautiful thought. But here's a scary thought too, is people wonder about the Fermi paradox. Why, when we look up in the sky, why don't we see civilizations everywhere? Techno signatures of civilizations everywhere. What if this is a discovery? So every civilization can discover this technology, and once they do, they destroy themselves, because war never changes, you know? Yeah. And any two warring factions, first person to deploy this, game over. Or worse yet, I mean, you know, you're old enough to remember ISIS. Some people who are listening may not, but ISIS were literally cutting people's heads off and suicide bombing all over the place. Imagine a suicide bomber who can destroy the whole planet. You know, that, how do we stop that? Yeah. Especially if this is something anyone can create.
What if every supernova and quasar or whatever we see is actually just a civilization that's destroying itself?
Well, those are the fun. I mean, it's not really fun, but those are the wild ideas where you start to think about it. It's an interesting thought experiment.
I'm not saying it's true.
Yeah. And so that's the stuff that's scary. So when I look at this, you know, I have reservations about it. I was actually just talking to the lady at the coffee barista about this, and I was saying that, you know, this, I have reservations about exposing my own country. I think I might know more about our spy satellite surveillance than anyone else in the public right now in the United States. Now, people behind the scenes that work in the military obviously know more than me, but from the public perspective, I think I'm like way up there.
Well, yeah, because you've spent the past 6 months or whatever just deep diving this shit as hard
about
as you can.
Cibbers and how all this stuff works and the sentient AI program.
Honestly, when you talk about it, it's unbelievable. I mean, it sounds like this has been your career. But yeah. it just demonstrates a real sincere passion to get to the bottom of this and get to the truth. What do you think? I mean, do you have any better analysis or estimation as to what governments were involved in the disappearance? And it, was it one? Do you think it was just the Americans? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So last time I was here, I think I was probably promoting the idea that we were trying to rescue the plane. That this plane was on fire. And then we were rescuing it. We have 1 hour and 20 minutes to deploy our orbs and our drone and get the satellite in orientation. And since then, this letter to Ashton Forbes came out on YouTube, on this random YouTube channel. Creepiest thing that's ever happened in my life. I hope nothing creepier than this happens to me in my life. Because it seems like somebody on the inside was like, nah, you're close, but here's what really happened.
As always, today's episode of Liberty Lockdown is brought to you by Phoenix Ammunition. Go to phoenixammo.com anytime you're running low. The only place to go is Phoenix Ammo. They are a American ammunition company that only provides their wares to the American people. The people that the Second Amendment was written for. They don't have any government contracts. They don't sell to the cops. They don't do any of that shit. They are here for you, ladies and gentlemen. You. That's it. Savages. Pure savages. Based to the highest level. Yes. PhoenixAmmo.com. You don't need a promo code. They already give you a discount when you buy in bulk, and you ought to be buying in bulk because you're a goddamn American, and that's your prerogative. PhoenixAmmo.com.
And I was actually considering stop talking about the situation, and like they were making fun of me for making a post about the Miami aliens thing that happened back in January.
Right.
And I'm going, this is like a very personal letter that somebody spent. They spent 11 minutes long. You guys should listen to it. Scariest thing ever. My hair raises. At one point, they're like, hi, Ashton. Impressive. And I'm like, okay, that's it. This is too much. But it promotes this idea that it kind of links together some of the evidence that I hadn't linked together about espionage, that the Freescale Semiconductor scientists are definitely the motive on here. I've even heard from back channels that semiconductors are the secret to all of this. And I had already figured that out from the idea of superconductivity. So superconductive microchips are used in AI, quantum computers, probably using the technology we see in those orbs as well. And then the other side of it's plasma physics, but the semiconductor stuff is like, you go look at semiconductor stocks and like, Nvidia, for example, like go look at how in 2020, Nvidia was $50. It's now $900. Yep. So, you know,
everyone has assumed that's because of the AI race, but it could actually be in part because of this unlimited energy device
or maybe. These hypersonic weapons, as I've been calling them.
Right.
But the eight of the Freescale Semiconductor employees that were on this plane were Chinese nationals. 12 were Malaysian nationals, and they're all working for an American company. These are the number one target for espionage and intellectual property theft in the United States. And some of them had their whole families with them. They're all sitting next to each other on the plane. They should have flagged the company to say this is too many people on one flight. And the letter to me says that this was a pre-planned operation, that we knew they were defecting to China, that they were bringing this intellectual property there. There's an article just in the Daily Mail like last week where they talk about what China does. They bring the people back there and then they give them these grants and they just basically steal the intellectual property like this, or they just pay them directly.
That has been a complaint about the CCP for is
I've been alive. And I think that US just got tired of it. And we're like, not only are we tired of this, but we're not going to let you get the superconductive harmonic orbs.
I mean, this is a much bigger deal than the next iteration of the iPhone. This is like, this is the realest of technologies. So
like whoever controls this controls the planet. You know, and the further you are advanced with this tech, like you are headed over here, like just way above the competition.
It still doesn't make sense, though, that they would use this level of technology to suck these people out of the sky.
Yeah, like it's a message. It's a message.
It's a message.
So here's the thing is that Joseph P. Farrell figured this out. He did an interview March 20th, 2014, that I watched a couple months ago, and he had nailed like all of it. He just didn't piece it all together that. The one thing he didn't know is that the semiconductor employees are the basis for the technology. Because if he had figured that out, he would have been able to piece it together. He had already figured out that somebody was trying to send somebody else a message by disappearing this plane. He even had that somebody used a super weapon. I don't know where he heard that. I want to know where the rumor was that he heard the United States used a super weapon on this plane, because that's exactly what we did. I think that we planned those batteries on there to ignite at the exact right moment to divert the plane. We knew the pilot would turn the plane back around. We might have even used that remote autopilot capabilities to remote the plane ourselves. Then we sent it to the rendezvous point, which is where we had the orbs. We see the plane doing this emergency descent maneuver with smoke coming out of the back of it. And then I think we orbed it away while we knew the Chinese were looking, but they only have their low-resolution satellites compared to ours. And China hacked the Malaysian government the next day because they were trying to figure out what happened. They post these weird satellite images, which, when you look at them, clearly look like three orbs around the plane. And I'm the only one in the world, I think, that said that this was like spycraft, like a message. I thought the message was, we saw what you did. The letter dash in Forbes says that that was a message saying, we give up. Like, you got us. Like, you got us, guys. Like, you did it. And that the United States was doing this to, as a message to our adversaries to say, like, don't mess with us. Like, we got the super, super weapons.
And so you it's think basically, it's dropping on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's like, hey, we're the big guys now, again.
Because if you come out and say, like, Russia and China comes out and says, United States took the plane, they orbed it away with some warp technology, people are just going to think this disinformation. They're going to laugh at them. No one will believe it. And then the United States immediately puts all the media into operation and says, this is Russian disinformation, just like they did with the Hunter Biden laptop. They'll have 50 agents come out and sign and say, this has all the hallmarks of Russian and Chinese disinformation, and the whole world will eat it up. Yep. So there's nothing that China and Russia could even say, even if they knew it was real. And instead, the only thing they can do is try to reverse engineer it for themselves, which I think they have done. I think that Russia and China figured it out. I think that if I had tried to expose this in like 2018 or earlier, I think I would have got a knock on the door a long time ago, or got Boeing whistleblowered. But because it's 2024, I think that our government knows that they've already figured it out. And I think that some of these drone incursions that are happening, like, I don't think those are drones. I think that that's like Russia and China figured out their own little orbs, maybe slightly different than our orbs, and that we're shooting them down, but we can't show anybody. Because if we show anybody what we're doing and what we're seeing, then people are going to be wondering, like, where is this tech coming from? I think all this UFO stuff, all these UAP hearings, I think they're all a distraction where people don't realize the real landscape of the situation here, which is that we've got this crazy advanced technology. Russia and China probably have it. We're in this arms race behind the scenes. Nobody wants to reveal their hand in terms of what they're capable of doing.
Those drones would be probing our defenses using their new advanced tech, and like, but no one wants to escalate it because they don't know what the other side has. So they're testing each other to see, all right, where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at?
Exactly. You're pushing the limit, right? You're trying to figure it out. And then it's like, okay, go ahead and shoot our drone down. We don't care. It's just, we got some more orbs in the back that we can break out.
Right. That makes a ton of sense. I mean, it's obviously speculative, but I think it's a fascinating thesis.
Yeah, because I think it actually answers a lot of the questions as the UFO community have. And I have no love for the UFO community in general. I think that the sad part is, like, I'm giving them everything on a silver platter. Like, if you're the kind of person that thinks that, like, aliens are visiting us from Andromeda Galaxy, you should be all over this. I'm giving you the secret sauce. It's like, how are they getting here from the Andromeda Galaxy? You got to have faster than light travel. Well, we have warp travel. So there you go. I get so much hostile pushback from people, and it just kind of surprises me.
Well, welcome to any niche community. As a libertarian, I am reviled by probably half of libertarians. So trust me, I understand the pain that you're going through. Don't take it personally.
No, it's fine. And the thing is, but like, nobody's really looking into the science. That's what really surprised me, is like, so few people actually look at the science aspect. Because once I dug into the science, I find Thomas Bearden, you find about like all this stuff going back decades and decades and decades, all these defense intelligence agency papers. Like, why do these papers even exist? Why is there a paper called like wormholes, or the one that's like traversable wormholes, stargates, and dark energy? And then, you know, the other one about warp drive and dark energy and whatever the other term is. And the third one about, you know, anti-gravity for propulsion mechanisms. And they all have the same common theme, which is that you can use the zero point energy to essentially get dark energy and the negative energy that we need for these types of effects. And to me, that's just the ether with extra steps. That's my new line, is that we're bringing the ether back. I don't even care if people want to ridicule me on it. The ether is an awesome name. You know, it goes back to Tesla. Tesla should get credit for this. And I think that will help explain everything out there. So this is also kind of like how Salvatore Paez, I've done two interviews with Salvatore Paez, and he's now, my opinion is that he's got gag ordered again, where he can't talk to people anymore because he was saying way too much. Like, he was talking about the Maxwell equation stuff that we talked about earlier. I went back through my interview with him when I didn't understand anything about the science. And now I look back at it, I'm like, whoa, he was saying all of this. Yeah. And he's got three patents out there that were approved that talk about breaking the Schwinger limit, inertial mass reduction for a transmedium craft, piezoelectric induced high temperature superconductivity, and then the high frequency gravitational wave generator. And you look at that and you're like, and all my interviews, the first thing he does is like a 5-minute disclaimer about not helping our enemies. And I'm like, you know, you look at that, you're like, why do these patents exist? Why do these papers exist? To me, it's plausible deniability, so that when this does get proven to be true and everybody's minds are being broken, the government can say, well, we didn't lie to you. We had all these papers out there. We had these patents that we put out there. So we weren't lying. You guys just weren't listening or paying any attention. And that's, I think, part of the reason why I've submitted this information to the AARO, which is the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, like the UFO group, where all the UFO people hate them because they came out and said there's no extraterrestrials and we're not hiding ETs and what have you. And I'm just laughing because that doesn't harm me at all. I'm saying that this is our technology. Our defense contractors have this tech and they're hiding it. Hmm. But I gave them the videos. I gave them Edward C. Lynn, the leaker who I've identified, is the guy who, like, I'm 99.999% sure this guy leaked these videos. I even gave them General Joseph F. Dunford, who's on the board of directors, Lockheed Martin, who probably would have been the general who was in charge of the operation and got promoted to the highest ranked military officer on the planet after that. And they said that they could look into this stuff. They said that they can get the clearances to see if the stuff checks out. I mean, if that's what Sibber's video looks like from the satellite, there you go. You've got it. If that's what a real MQ-1C Grey Eagle drone looks like, you've got it. And if Edward C. Lynn, they go look at what he leaked that's available on the internet, and if it's those videos, these are just, that's absolute proof. So
yeah. Quick question for you. How many, American troops would be privy to what the Sibber system looks like? Do you have any idea?
So it's controlled by the NRO. Now, you could argue that potentially people in the Navy, I think there might be even a sister satellite constellation that the Navy uses that's based on the NOS, the Naval Ocean Surveillance Satellites. So the USA 229 is the one that we identified by looking at the historical trajectories that was in the Malacca Straits that would have been staring right down at these coordinates at the right time. So they might have a sister satellite system that uses that, but there are people definitely out there that know. I've had people, it's no one's really willing to go on the record, but very often, almost every week, I get somebody who messages me and says, that's what it looks like, you've got it, or that's what our drones look like, you've got it.
That's why I ask, because it's like, yeah. you have to imagine there are at least dozens, if not hundreds or thousands of people that saw your video, or not yours, but you know what I'm talking about, and then just immediately like shit their pants. They're like, Oh, that's fucking real, dude. Like, they didn't have to go through all the work that you had to go through. They just saw the video and they're like, holy shit.
Like, yeah, one person recently was like, it's even better than what you think. Like, you can actually rotate the perspective on the satellite video 360 degrees and actually track an object 360 degrees. And we were able to figure out, like, one, I think maybe back when we first talked, I had deduced that this is some kind of Google Earth military video playback system. Turns out the CIA partially funded Google Earth, and the military literally uses Google Earth integrated with this quick terrain modeler software that someone brought up a couple weeks ago. I look at the company. On their company website, it says that their software is literally used by all branches of the military, the DOD, and the intelligence communities. And I'm going, and then we found another article that says it actually integrates with Google Earth. And I'm going, this is to track objects. I'm going, well, 100% proof, right? I sent that to Arrow too as a follow-up. I'm like, guys, I'm uncovering like basically undeniable proof here. Like, can you please reach out to me, like figure out what we're going to do here, if they want to negotiate me for me to shut up about this or whatever, because it's starting to get awkward in terms of like revealing these capabilities, revealing this technology to the world. And I'm, second guessing it myself in terms of, is this even safe for us in general? But yeah, I think there are people that know about it. From the engineering standpoint, though, what I will say from what I've been able to just kind of deduce, as well as what people have told me, is that it's a much smaller group of people that know about it than what you would imagine. Like, there's people that have like the highest ranked security clearances in the military, and they still have no idea about the anti-gravitational technology.
There's still compartmentalization.
And that's why you have a lot of people who go, no, we don't have this. There's no way we have this technology. I've had these high clearances. Well, you don't know. It's compartmentalized. Like, it's a very small subset group of people. So the people that know are going to be people like General Joseph F. Dunford that he's going to potentially know because he was in the right spot. That's why he's on the board of directors of Lockheed Martin right now. But the engineers are the ones, like Eric Davis, the guy who wrote these teleportation physics study paper and these other DIA papers. He knows beyond any shadow of a doubt because they're working on the private labs that are building it. And then they take the components that they build and they go put it together at like Los Alamos or like the NASA Marshall in Huntsville, Alabama. Like some of these places are probably where they get put together, but the number of people putting the stuff together for the orbs and what have you is a very, very small number of people. And those people are smart enough to not talk about it because they don't want to get Boeing whistleblowered either.
Of course, man. Neither do I, for the record.
Yeah.
Quick question for you and we'll get out of here. You know, as you're probably aware after following my Twitter long enough, that I don't really see the duopoly as a solution to any of this. Donald Trump famously talked about, you know, releasing the JFK files, releasing, you know, Roswell info. To the best of my knowledge, he didn't disclose much of what he promised to. Is there any hope in your estimation that Trump would be the guy that would actually shed light on MH370 and more importantly than MH370, no disrespect to the victims of the disappearance, but the technology is actually the biggest story if it's true. Is there any chance that he would disclose it, do you think? Because I don't think so.
That's a great question. I don't think so because he didn't last time. But so Trump created Space Force, which I think a lot of people thought was silly at the time. But if we've had this kind of technology, it starts to make a lot of sense. You know who he directed to make Space Force? General Joseph F. Dunford. We have an actual,
The same dude?
Literally, yes. There's a speech of him going up there on the podium, Trump going, and I will direct, please, will Joseph F. Dunford, please, you know, help take this order to create Space Force. I'm going, whoa.
The guy who's the head of Lockheed?
The guy who's on the board of directors of Lockheed, who's on this subcommittee about special intelligence on board of directors of Lockheed, that was promoted the highest ranked military officer right after this plane disappeared, is the guy that Trump also told to set up the Space Force. I think that when the FBI raided Trump for the mementos that he was holding, it would not surprise me at all if one of those mementos had to do with this plane or something like this technology, because you could imagine that would be why they would want to raid him, because that information getting out, they would be freaked out about.
I wouldn't trust Trump with that information.
Exactly. And if you think about it from that perspective, you're like, oh, that actually makes it. Now, of course, this is totally speculative.
No, I know.
But it wouldn't surprise me. But I think what happens, though, when people get in the office, if you go look, like I'm 41 years old, so I've seen a number of presidents. You know, Clinton talked about wanting to get in office and reveal Area 51. He gets in and stonewalled. Obama, I think, even ran on it. And he gets in and all of a sudden his attitude changes 180. Because you imagine you go in this idea, I'm going to reveal flying saucers and aliens. You come in and they're like, yeah, we've got warp drive technology and you can't reveal this because it's, you know, potentially our adversaries would figure it out and this is for national defense purposes. And now you can see why the personality changed. Even Trump, he gets in, all of a sudden he's super coy about everything related to Area 51 and aliens and all that stuff. So I think what you learn is that the president doesn't have power over releasing this information. It goes to the three-letter agencies, the CIA, the Department of Energy, the DOD, the Air Force, the Defense Intelligence Agency. And I've learned about these agencies, too. I think there's literally warring factions where some of them want it out. Some of them don't want it out. They're trying to figure out, is it safe to come out or not safe to come out? And they're probably indirectly using me right now. I mean, part of the reason why you ask, like, why maybe I have not been disappeared or what have you, is because some of them want the information out. They don't all agree. And I think they have their own slow disclosure process, probably all this bureaucracy bullshit behind the scenes where they're meeting and trying to decide how it'll work. And then there's me out here going, nope, we got the orbs. We got free energy. We've got warp drive technology. Here you go. Everybody open sourcing all my research, doing live streams every night to some of my live streams have 14,000 people watching. And I'm like just going over these scientific papers and videos. That's amazing, man. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Well, Your work has been super interesting. Whether or not this is the greatest hoax of all time or the greatest discovery of all time is TBD. But I am along for the ride, and I would love to have you back on every 6 months or however long it's been gap between the last time. I think my audience will find it truly interesting and entertaining and perhaps civilizational altering tech. We'll see.
Thank you so much. Real, it'll be great, man. Can you imagine the Netflix documentary that'll be about this? And then maybe there's a clip of us talking about it. Exactly. And then that's why
the people right now.
Yeah, exactly. The people that are watching right now, you know, I think that they're on like an amazing journey. Like you just said, if this is the hoax, it's the greatest hoax of all time. If it's real, then it's just like the biggest story of all time. So
exactly. Either way, it's fucking neat. It's a really cool story. So
thanks, Clint. I love your content as well, man. It's been awesome. You're a great guy.
Thank you, brother. Go ahead and tell people how they can follow you, support your work, everything else. Or not support your work, because you don't do that, but you know.
Yeah. Well, check me out at JustXAshton on YouTube or on Twitter. And yeah, follow along with us. You know, we've my following has grown massively, especially recently. So spread the news, spread the information, you know, careful about breaking people's minds out there, but you know, ease them into it and let's change the world, everybody.
Sounds good, dude. Anybody wants to support my work at Liberty Lock Pod on X, Liberty Lockdown is the show. Please do subscribe, over on X or libertylockdown.locals.com. If you do want to support my work, because I am a grifter, unlike Ashton. And that's about it, man. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Do hit the like button, share this around for the love of God. It'll probably be algo suppressed, but this is a fascinating story and I hope more people will tune in. I'm going to give this one a shot. I feel like we talked about a lot of crazy stuff. I'm going to give this one a shot, posting it on YouTube. We'll see if it survives. I have no idea. But I think the story is worthwhile. So I'm going to give it a shot. Anyways, we'll see you guys soon. Peace.
Welcome to Liberty Lockdown. Please scan your barcode. Your liberty ain't gone, but yeah, it's on hold. Where did it come from and where did it go?